Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read this morning beginning in verse number 6. If you're a guest, you're going to find out that we're preaching a series of messages right now called Restart. And every once in a while, you need a restart in your Christian life, and we're learning how to restart various aspects of the Christian life. And today, we're going to learn about how to restart our prayer life. And prayer is something that is available to every Christian because Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And the Bible says that we can enter boldly into the presence of God because Jesus has made a way. He has provided access for us. And so we want to learn more about that this morning. And, you know, we need to pray for a lot of reasons. We need to pray for our families. We need to pray sometimes for health reasons and finances. Sometimes we just need to pray flat out for wisdom. The Bible says we can ask for wisdom. It's like a fellow I heard about this past week, and his wife said to him, said, "Do I look fat in this dress?" And he said, "Do I look stupid in this shirt?" You see, that was a man who had wisdom, and he knew better than to answer that question. So we all need wisdom in our lives, and we need strength, and God has given us an avenue of prayer, and yet it's probably one of the most neglected privileges of the Christian life. And I want to speak to you this morning about prayer. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 is our primary text. And let me tell you this before we get going. We're going to survey the subject of restarting prayer. So we're going to be in three texts this morning. We're going to be in Philippians 4, we're going to be in Romans 8, and we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5. So just follow along, and we'll move right along. Verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of coming to worship you today. Thank you for the music and for friends that have gathered with us. But now, Lord, we open your word and we know that this is what really matters, what you want us to hear today. So speak to us and teach us, Lord, how to pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, when you read the Bible, you find that in the book of Acts, which records the early church, you find that prayer was really central to everything. In fact, it's interesting to me that it oftentimes would begin with prayer. The church would pray, and God would give power, and the preachers would preach, and then persecution would come. And then they would go back to prayer, and then they would get more power, and then there would be more preaching, and then the persecution would come, and then they would go back to prayer. And when you read the book of Acts, you find that cycle, and prayer was always in the mix. The Bible says that Jesus, in Matthew 14, 23, went up into a mountain to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the Bible tells us that the early church at Jerusalem continually gathered together in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And I believe one of our greatest failures as Christians is to really take the opportunity that God has given to us, the invitation that he's given to us to come to him for prayer. And let me tell you this morning, Satan knows that when a Christian prays, that God's power can be unleashed and that victory is available. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. And so prayer is a great resource made available for every one of us. And the church at Philippi was a church that had a lot of joy. They got along. They were happy in the Lord, and they were encouraged about this. But Paul was telling them in this particular passage that if they would maintain their joy, then they must learn how to bring their burdens to the Lord in prayer. Now, when we pray this morning, I believe there are three truths that we must remember. And I want you to notice, first of all, that we can come with a confident prayer to the Lord. God wants us to come confidently to him. In Hebrews, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Here in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, when we read the words in this verse number 6, there are three words for prayer. And I just want to briefly touch on them. First, there is the word prayer, which is a generic term for addressing God or talking to God. Then you find in verse 6 the word supplication. That means to seek God for something, to make entreaty to God. Then the word request, that is a petition. That is something that you're seeking as well, coming to the Lord. So the Bible tells us that we must come with a confident prayer. And I say that because you'll notice there that we are to request without worry. We're to request without worry or doubt. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Let's say that together. Be careful for nothing. Just sometimes take a word like careful and flip it around, and you'll find that it says, be full of care. Full of care. And God says, when you come to me, I don't want you full of care, full of doubt, and full of worry. I don't want you to be anxious. In fact, the word here, careful for nothing, the word nothing means not one thing. God says, I don't want you coming to me with an admixture of faith and doubt, with an admixture of worry and faith, but I want you to come believing. Worry is the opposite of trust. And it's very important that we recognize that when we come to the Lord, we can trust Him. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. God says, listen, when you talk to me, I want you to come with a heart full of trust. Now, sometimes we have worry in our lives and things happen. And it's interesting because you'll see on the news about the attacks in Paris. And certainly that's a real problem. And certainly we pray that our governmental officials will really take a look at how we let people into the country and that safety is of the primary concern. And certainly all of us want to make sure that we're protected in our homes. And I understand the necessity of those things. But I also understand how worry comes into our life. And before you know it, we live in a state of paranoia sometimes, and we're concerned and overly concerned. It's like the lady that just was sure that she was going to be broken into, and she lived with constant worry every night. She couldn't sleep. And she talked to her husband, and she kind of was one of these women that worked her husband up. And boy, they would move and do this and move and go there and buy this and get this security system, but she just always was moving and worrying. And so it was that finally one night, her husband heard a noise downstairs. He grabbed a shotgun and pumped it, and he walked downstairs. And sure enough, there was a guy there. And he said, hey, hold it, just a second. And that burglar kind of froze. He didn't know what to do. And the man looked at the burglar. He said, good evening. He said, I'm pleased to see you. Please come upstairs. I want you to meet my wife. She's been waiting for you for 10 years. Now, you know, the fact is that sometimes those worries come to pass, but the truth is that God does not want us approaching Him with a heart of worry. He wants us approaching Him with a heart of trust. Now, let me tell you something about life. The illusion of control will always develop anxiety. When you live with the illusion that somehow you can control every one of life's situations, anxiety will become greater in your life because there come into our lives things that we cannot control. There come circumstances upon us that just were not planned by us, but were apparently planned by God, because anything out of my control is in the will of God. God is sovereign, and God allows circumstances to come into our life, and He simply wants us to trust Him in those times. In fact, I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 56 and verse 3. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. God is not saying we cannot be afraid. David was afraid. But what he's saying is, when you talk to me, I don't want your overwhelming sense to be fear or worry. I want it to be trust and confidence in my powerful name. And so, you see, we must recognize that anxiety and worry is a sin. George Mueller was a preacher and a great man that had orphanages in England in the 1800s. There had come a plague into England, and many mothers and fathers had died, and there were thousands of children without a home. And he was burdened, and he just felt as though he could do something with the help of God. This man began to pray that he could have food and properties to house children. And he didn't have a lot of letter writing and a lot of ways of announcing his need, but he prayed. And the man became known, George Mueller, as a great man of prayer, Mueller of Bristol, England. And Mueller began to pray for one building after another building, and he prayed for food. And at the height of his ministry, he had an orphanage with 10,000 children living there and daily receiving three meals and hot baths, and they were being cared for because of a man who knew how to pray. And Mueller said this: the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. God says, when you look my way, I want you to look with faith. I want you to trust in me. I want you to request without worry. Secondly, he wants us to request with thanksgiving. Notice that in verse 6, would you? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let's say that together. With thanksgiving. God says, I want you to know that even when you are overwhelmed with that wayward child, even when you are overwhelmed with that difficulty in marriage, even when you are overwhelmed with that news from the doctor, I want you even then, when you come to me with your prayer, to give thanks. Because even when something's going wrong in your life, there's a lot that's still going right. How many of you believe that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights? How many of you believe that God is a good God? Amen? And God says, when you come to me and when you're telling me about your problem, don't forget to thank me for what is still going right. Now, my four children, when they were growing up, they asked me for a lot of stuff. I mean, they asked me for money. They asked me for Nike shoes for basketball. Where's our football coach? They wanted football cleats. They wanted this and that. Boy, it seemed like the athletic stuff was the most expensive. And boy, they would come to me and ask. And you know, it was fine, really. Now my eight grandchildren are learning how to do the same thing. My two-year-old grandson, Chandler, he does not just want a truck. He does not just want a red truck. He wants a red fire truck for Christmas. He doesn't even know what Christmas is. He's lost. He's never accepted Christ. He's just a little two-year-old, unsaved little boy. You know what he wants? A red fire truck. Now, one day, I hope he wants Jesus as a Savior. Amen. And I don't fault him for not knowing about Christmas yet, but he knows he wants a red fire truck. You know what I found when our kids would come to me a lot of times if they wanted something? Sometimes if they'd come and they'd say, Dad, you sure are a smart dad. Dad, I sure appreciate you. You are such a blessing to me. And Dad, your muscles are so big, I'm worried they won't fit in that suit coat much longer. They're so big. And when they would say things like that, even though I knew they were setting me up, when they asked me for something, it sure made the pill easier to swallow. Now I'm going to tell you something. God tells us, hey, when you're asking me for things, don't forget to thank me for some things. God says, I want you to come to me telling me about your request, but come with thanksgiving along the way. In everything, give thanks. You know, it's interesting. The pilgrims, for every one house they built, they dug seven graves. And yet in the midst of such tragedy, they decided to have a holiday called Thanksgiving, because they realized that if they weren't thankful for what they did have, God would not bless them with more along the way. And so I want to encourage you this week to come to the Lord with all of your worries and all of your cares, but don't forget to tell him thank you for the things he's given to you. He says, I want you to come with a confident prayer. But then I want you to notice, secondly, God says, I want you to come to me with a collaborative prayer. A collaborative prayer. Now, I'm not speaking about where everybody prays together, though that's wonderful. But I want you to turn in your Bible or look in your notes at Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. And I want you to see here how we can collaborate with the Holy Spirit of God in our prayer. Now, if you've ever accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you have been born again. The Bible calls it being born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, the fact that you're sitting here tells me you've been born of the flesh. You were born, your mama or your doctor or somebody spanked you and you cried, and here you are this morning. You're alive and well, born physically. But God says we're born of the flesh, but we must also be born of the Spirit. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God indwells our lives. He affirms to us when we're doing right. He convicts us when we're doing wrong. He does many things in our lives, including comforting us and guiding us and helping us to pray. Now notice what it says in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, sometimes worry can develop to a state of debilitating anxiety. Sometimes you can get to the place where so much is going on and you lose your focus on the Lord and you're overwhelmed to the place of anxiety. And it is then more than ever when we need the Holy Spirit to help, to comfort, and even to teach us how to pray or what to say. Now notice God says, I want you to collaborate with my Spirit. He is there to strengthen you. Notice that first of all. He is there to strengthen us. Did you see that in verse 26? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word helpeth means that the Holy Spirit of God, who is the comforter, helps to strengthen us along the way. The word infirmities means a lack of strength. So when I am infirmed, God's Spirit will strengthen me and He will comfort me in that moment. And we know for fact that Paul the Apostle experienced that kind of help. It was not merely an adrenaline rush. It was not merely just some type of medication, but God's Spirit helped him through. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, concerning Paul's sickness, he said, I asked the Lord three times that it would depart from me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Grace is that impartation of strength from the Holy Spirit. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, Lord, I'm weak. I'm physically weak and I need help. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, let me just remind you this morning, when everything's going our way, when the paycheck's fine and the bills are paid and the cholesterol's right, the blood pressure's under control, and boy, the kids are great. Hey, when everything's just fine, we have a tendency to not pray. But sometimes God will allow a season into our lives that reminds us that without Him, we can do nothing. And when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm weak, I want you to remember this. God is not attracted to your strengths. God is attracted to your weaknesses. And when we say, Lord, I need your help, God says, I can help. My grace is sufficient. And Paul finally got to the place where he said, you know what? I just glory and I'm thankful for my infirmities because when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, I learn that God can make a way where there seemed to be no way. God can see me through. And so the Spirit of God strengthens us. And secondly, the Spirit of God guides us. Notice back in verse 26 there in Romans 8, it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes you'll come to a circumstance in life that is so heart-wrenching that you are so overwhelmed, a frog is in your throat, tears are in your eye, you don't even know what to say. And God says, when you're there, I can help you. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And the Spirit of God guides us into how to pray, and He helps us to know the will of God in prayer. He guides our prayer. It is the Spirit itself that maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. God says, when you're to the place that your heart is so heavy and you don't even know what to say to me, then my Holy Spirit at that moment is going to bring the very groanings of your heart to God's attention. I don't know if you've ever been there, and I see a lot of times people that are surely cocky and proud and prayerless, And they really may not understand a passage like this, but I think there are some here today who have been broken. You've been through some difficulty. You've been to the place where you didn't even know what to tell the Lord. Your heart was so heavy. And God says, when you get there, my Spirit can bring your prayers directly to the throne of God in heaven. Kelly Gallagher won the gold medal at the Paralympic Games in 2014. She was a slalom skier, a very talented young woman. But the amazing thing about Kelly was not necessarily the fact that she could ski. It was the fact that she, as a blind woman, could ski. 60 miles an hour down the hill and back and forth. And the way that she skis in the Paralympic Games is she has a Bluetooth device in her ear. And as she's going down the hill, she has a friend at the top of the mountain who says, left, right, left, right, straight, lean, bend, left, right, until finally she crosses the finish line for the gold medal. And I want you to recognize that when you feel blinded by the tragedies of life, God's Holy Spirit is there to say left, right, left, right, and to guide you and to strengthen you and to help you bring your prayers to God in heaven, praying always with all prayer and supplication. The Spirit of God will guide us, and the Spirit of God understands our pain. Notice that word in verse 26, the groanings that we would express. Jesus in John 11:33 groaned within his spirit when he was on the cross. There are times when words are not enough, but the Spirit brings the groanings to God in heaven. The Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us. He is there to guide our prayers. And thirdly, he is there to help us. Notice back in verse 27 of Romans 8, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Did you see that? He maketh intercession for the saints. He says, I'm going to help you with your prayers. I know your need. I'm going to help you with your prayers. I heard about a little boy that was praying his bedtime prayers, and he knelt down beside his bed and he said, Dear Lord, help mommy and daddy and help me and help all of us to sleep really well. And dear Lord, help me to have a bicycle for my birthday. His dad said, Son, God is not deaf. You do not have to raise your voice like that. He said, I know, daddy, but grandma's sleeping upstairs and I wanted to make sure she heard. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. You don't have to yell to God to make him know your need. You may not even be able to utter the words of your need, but he knows your need. The psalmist said, Search me, O God, and try my heart, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. He knows your need, and he intercedes on your behalf. When you kneel down to pray, and when you have a heart that is heavy, if you'll just simply earnestly know that God is there and desire to communicate to him and ask the Spirit of God to guide and direct you, your prayers will be heard in heaven by God. He says, I want you to have a confident prayer, knowing that I will hear. I want you to have a collaborative prayer life with the Spirit in prayer. Thirdly, he says, I want you to have a continual prayer life. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a very simple verse. If you get nothing out of this message, remember this verse. Pray without ceasing. Let's say that together. Pray. So God says, I want you to come to me with confidence, not with worry. I want you to come to me in the Spirit, collaboratively, and I want you to come to me continually. I want you to talk to me. I want you to listen to me through my word, and I want you to talk to me along the way. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a relationship with Jesus, or do you go to church? Now, going to church is huge. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Going to church is awesome, but do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you hear from his word? Do you talk to him along the way? He says, I want you to pray without ceasing. And sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm not really good at communicating. I just don't communicate really well. And I get tickled with that because the fact of the matter is, it's not difficult to pray. It's not difficult to communicate. Just ask teenagers who can text 75 words a minute, 4 hours in a row. I met a friend this week, and I was so enthused and encouraged because he not only had one phone, he had two phones. He had one phone to talk with and another phone to text on while he's talking on the other one. And I thought, man, I have met my match. The man was a master communicator. It's not that we can't pray. We have proven, even as adults, that we can spend hours on Facebook communicating. Hours texting, communicating. God says, hey, I want to hear from you. I made you. I love you. I want to hear from you. Now, my son, Matt, he's a youth pastor in San Diego, and he lives only 3 or 4 hours away. But, you know, when he calls me 3 or 4 times a week, it means something to me. Sometimes he calls just to say hi. Sometimes ask about a Bible verse. But I always love to hear from him. And I've got news for you this morning. Your heavenly Father loves to hear from you. He says, don't just call me once in a while, but just when you're walking, talk to me. And when you're about to talk to your children, talk to me. And before you have your meals, maybe thank me. Just talk to me. Continually talk to me. Now, the word prayer is an interesting word, the Greek word prosukomai, and it has several connotations. I want you to see those real quickly up here on the screen. This word prayer, as you break it apart, it means several things. First, it means submission. When I pray, it means, God, I'm not the big man here. God, I'm in submission to you. And I'm praying because I know that I'm under a higher authority. If you believe that, say amen this morning. It's not all about me, God, it's all about you. Prayer is a signal to that issue. When I pray, I'm confessing to the Lord. Lord, I acknowledge your authority, and Lord, I acknowledge that often I fall short. When I pray, I bring my petitions, my prayer requests, and wives can pray for their husbands, and husbands for their wives, and parents for their children, and lots of things, a prayer request. When you see the word petition, you think of a prayer list. Sometimes we pray with intercession, praying for others. And sometimes when we pray, we praise God and we thank God. And prayer involves many different attributes. And God says, if you'll seek the way, there's always something to talk to me about. It might be coming into submission in an area, might be giving thanks in an area, might be asking my counsel in an area, might be praying for someone else. But there's always something to be praying about. Now notice the access of our prayer. This short verse simply says, pray without ceasing. That is to say, you can pray anywhere. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. God says, I want men to pray everywhere. Someone says, what about those lifting up of the hands? Just make sure they're holy. Make sure they're not hands that are doing wicked things and a life that's living a wicked way Monday through Saturday and then coming in and having a fit with lifting up hands. Listen, I'm not against that, but what I'm really for is the holiness of life and really praying without ceasing. God says, I would that men would always pray. Luke 18, men ought always to pray and faint not. Heard about a boy that did receive a bike, and his brother was very envious, and he wanted a bike so bad, and his older sibling said, look, at just what you need to do is just pray and pray for a bike. That's what I did, just pray and pray for a bike. And finally, the younger brother went to his older brother. He said, why don't you just give me your bike, and then you can pray for a bike? Now look, I'm glad that other people pray for you, and I'm glad that other people pray for me, but the question is, do you pray for you? Are you talking to God? It's wonderful that others are praying for you, but God says, I want you to come to me. You have access to me through prayer and the approach of prayer. Notice he says, pray without ceasing. He said, I want you to come constantly, and then I want you to see the attitude of prayer. The Bible says in James 5:16, find this in your notes. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Now listen to this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's say that together. The effectual, fervent. Someone says, Pastor Chapel, sometimes when we pray, I notice we lift our voice. So when you preach, you lift your voice or you hit the pulpit. Why do you do that? Listen, I don't think talking to God is a boring thing. I think it's exciting to talk to God. It's not a boring thing to preach from the Bible. It's exciting. Listen, we've got to be careful, fellas, that we don't just get all excited about a ball game and, oh, it's time for church. Hey, I love ball games and all these things, but listen, let's have some fervency about God. Let's have some fervency when we talk to God. And I'm just saying that prayer is a powerful tool. And Jesus said in Mark 9:29, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. And there are certain things in your life that will not happen without prayer, without effectual prayer. You say, I want to see souls saved. I want to see fruit. I want to see God bring revival. Then you've got to get passionate about prayer and seeking the face of God, more passionate than the frivolity and the hobbies of this life. There's got to be a passion for God. I'm saying if you've got a wayward child, God can bring him home. We've got to come to prayer. I'm saying if you've got a broken marriage, God can heal the marriage and God can heal the city and God can bless with the finances. But this kind cometh about only but by prayer and by fasting. And so oftentimes we want counsel, but we don't pray. And so oftentimes we want financial assistance, but we don't pray. And I'm simply saying we have a God who says, hey, I can help with all of those things, but you've got to ask me. Come to me with some confidence. Come to me with the Holy Spirit leading you. And come to me constantly. Let's have a relationship. Tell me what your needs are. Because if an earthly father loves to hear from his son, I love to hear from my children a million times more. So come to me. The Bible says in Mark 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Someone says, well, you know, that church can't help you. No, but a church that points you to God is a church that's helping you. Because with men it's not possible, but with God all things are possible. Let me ask you this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Could it be that you're here this morning and you don't pray because you don't know God? And that's not a put down, that's a fair question. Have you ever been born again? Do you know what it is to pray? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, there is a God in heaven who loves you so much that he sent his Son to be the mediator, the go-between. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. And God said, I want a relationship with you, and I've sent my son to pay for your sin, so there's no more wall between us. You can come and talk to me. All you've got to do is come by way of my son, Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved this morning? And if you are saved this morning, then are you talking with your Savior? Have you brought your needs and burdens and cares to him, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you? Come to him in prayer and seek his face.